Has anyone ever told you to be quiet? I don't mean like when you're back at school and you're told off by a teacher. Has anyone ever told you to be quiet when you were getting too excited or too into something? Maybe not in those exact words, but someone may have told you to calm down, settle down, sit down, or just generally be less you. I've certainly said this, especially to my sister, who, God love her, is one of the loudest people I have ever met. Singing, shouting, even her walk seems to be loud. People have certainly said it to me, maybe not in words, but with a look, a tut, or just a general vibe of disinterest. Even our closest loved ones can do this. When I start telling my fiancé about an interesting fact I've learned about trains, he pats me on the shoulder as if to say, "Yes, dear, but maybe not now." Sometimes, even if we don't tell someone to be quiet, we're definitely thinking it. A baby crying on a red-eye flight, a bad busker on public transport, a co-worker chewing too loudly at lunch. It may seem that we're constantly either trying to shield ourselves from extra noise or trying not to bother other people with our noise. I think particularly as a woman, I always tried to take up as little physical and auditory space as possible. We're told, don't put your head above the parapet, calm down, be quiet. However, our story today centres around someone who refused to be quiet, even when strangers were rebuking him. Bartimaeus is a man already considered to be an outcast in society as a disabled beggar. People already would have looked down on him physically and psychologically when walking down the street. When he hears that Jesus is leaving the city, he shouts and screams for him. He doesn't know if Jesus is anywhere near where he's sitting. He doesn't know if Jesus will hear him. And crucially, he doesn't care what anyone else will think. He's excited, he wants to be healed, and he'll take whatever chance he gets. When he's called up by Jesus and the crowd tell him, he throws off his cloak. It's quite a dramatic moment if you think about it, one that you can picture. He's literally springing out of his seat for the chance to be near Jesus. Moving away from Bartimaeus, what are the bystanders doing? Are they helping this man to get to whom he seeks? Not at first. They shush him, they tell him off, they're probably glaring at him and offering tuts. They're essentially telling him not to rock the boat, to stick to societal norms, to stay quiet. They might think that if Jesus sees this seemingly crazy man screaming, he won't come back to their town, that he'll think less of the whole community as a result. They're trying to protect Jesus from the riffraff of the streets. But of course, we know that's not how Jesus thinks. Jesus wants to hear the joy of his people. He wants to be near the excitement of someone springing up just to be near him and have the chance of a miracle healing. When Jesus calls for the man, the crowd suddenly change their minds. The man is no longer a burden. Take heart, they say, get up. They're now encouraging him to be with Jesus, rewarding him for his shouting. They now see that this is what Jesus wants. This is how he wants his followers to behave in his presence. When he's healed, Jesus tells Bartimaeus it is his faith that's healed him. In this moment, I don't think he just means believing in God, but also in the way that he's expressing that faith. I wonder, though, if I was in that situation, whether I'd be like Jesus or like the crowd of bystanders. Of course, I'd like to think that I'd be like Bartimaeus, yelling, jumping around, completely oblivious to those around me, letting nothing stop me from getting to Jesus. However, I have to admit that there is a part of me that thinks I would be like the bystanders, staring, tutting, asking someone to be quiet, because shouting and screaming is just not what we do. It's not polite, it's not right. Maybe it is a British thing. And the stereotypes are true around the stiff upper lip and the over-polite nature. Even without my cultural baggage, I do think that I would be like the crowd. I like to follow rules, both prescribed and implicit. I like societal expectations of behaviour, and when someone breaks them, it puts me on edge. That, however, is just my opinion. It doesn't make it right, and it certainly should not be how everyone sees the world. I wish I could lose my inhibitions and lighten up. I think I would be a lot happier. When I've preached before, I've rarely taken any notice of the prescribed psalm for the day. In the Church of England, it's much less common to use them during a service. However, today's passage is so pertinent to the gospel message that it seems impossible to ignore. Psalm 126 is telling us that it's not just acceptable to be filled with laughter and songs of joy, that it's also very good. That our mouth will be filled with laughter and our tongues with joy. Does that sound like a command to keep polite and quiet? This psalm makes me think of the hymn based on Isaiah 55:12. You shall go out with joy. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. I love this hymn. Not least because when we sang it in school, we were allowed to sing it faster and faster on each repetition and clap as loud as we wanted. But this hymn, which is going around and round my head as I'm writing the sermon, is an expression of the pure joy and the love of God and his work. And notice why I said I like this hymn. Because it's one of the few times at school when we were allowed to sing it fast and loud, to clap as much as we wanted. We did not have to curtail our enthusiasm, and that brought us endless amounts of joy. Think back to a time when you were allowed to make all the noise you wanted. Imagine going back to being a kid and being free to sing and shout and dance and clap without anyone holding you back. Think of the joy you would feel. Think about applying that joy and enthusiasm to singing and shouting and yelling about God. The message of this sermon is not that God grants you permission to be as loud and as obnoxious as you like in all situations. I'm not telling you to go onto the streets of New York with a megaphone and tell people they're going to hell unless they convert. I think I'm still allowed to be annoyed at my sister when she insists on screaming Taylor Swift at 8 o'clock in the morning. However, we need to be careful that we're not dimming people's lights unnecessarily. There is a difference between being genuinely annoyed at superfluous noise and telling someone to be anything else but their pure self. But this is also a message that you should remember for yourself. Don't let people tell you that you're too much, especially when it comes to your love of God, the church, and Jesus. Bring your whole self, not only to church, but bring your whole self into your daily life. Don't leave church at the door when you leave. If you find being loud uncomfortable, as I do, take it one step at a time. Have faith in this story showing us that being loud and proud in our true selves that God created us to be is the right way to live. And having faith in this story will help us get there. After all, as Jesus said, it is our faith that heals us.